Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Monday, July 29th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And today we're going to talk about the Miami Dolphins and Minnesota Vikings. Got some mailbag stuff to get to as well later in the show. You guys just won't leave me alone. Come on, man. Also, did want to acknowledge that I think I called Jim Harbaugh John Harbaugh. I almost did it right there. I think I called him John Harbaugh the entire episode on Friday. So, yeah, a little apology. Oh, come on, man.
Shame.
Really?
Shame.
Shame. All right. I earned that one. So, yeah, I'm going to do that 1,000 times. I love that there are two Harbaughs with the first name starting with J, head coaching in the NFL. Also, over at FTNFantasy.com, I just updated a whole bunch of free stuff, free tiers for the four positions, free rankings. So if you want to check it out, you're not a subscriber, go check it out. If you want to become a subscriber, promo code Rat Pack for 10% off. Just updated all the cheat sheets as well. Those are behind the paywall. The keeper value chart went up on Friday as well, which is behind a paywall. All right, let's get into it. Miami, fun team. They can put up a lot of points. And their quarterback just got paid. Tua Tagovailoa now is inked. It's done. No worries about any holdouts, hold-ins, anything like that. It was a hold-in, technically speaking. But that's now all ancient history, and it is really important as we head into fantasy draft season to let go of that stuff. I'll tell you what, far too often I see people who, you know, they're paying attention up until a certain point, and then they kind of stop. Even if the situation is resolved, or especially if it's resolved, they just stop paying attention to it, and then draft day rolls around at the end of August, and they still think it's a big deal. Like, it's done. It's definitely done, and that'll happen in a lot of these instances. So as far as Tua is concerned, we know there are several things to like about him. We saw him go for almost 4,700 yards last year, 29 passing scores. He has those weapons at his disposal. We do have some questions about, you know, can he keep up the momentum when it gets colder outside? And that's generally a question across the board for Miami. Can they keep the momentum up in December? That's an important consideration, being that that's when our fantasy championships are decided, December and then early January. But I still do like him as a potential late round option. You get a nice ceiling, actually a reasonably good floor with him as well. And I've been a Tua supporter. I have no issues with Tua Tagovailoa. You know, he's kind of a prototype quarterback in this system. Get the ball in your receiver's hands accurately in stride so that they can do things after catch. When you have a team of like world class sprinters, that's a good thing. And you know, you aren't going to have to overpay on him. So yeah, all the numbers check out for him. I have no issues with having Tua in one quarterback or Superflex this year. You don't have to overpay. Let's talk about Tyreek. So Tyreek will be the next person to get paid. His contract's exceedingly misleading because there is a $45 million year at the end of his contract two seasons from now that will never get paid. That's not going to happen. So be careful about NFL contract magic there. But either way, there's no major dispute. He's coming off of back-to-back seasons where he had 119 catches. He could have had more last year. Obviously, he played 16 of 17 games. But still, 1799, there was a point in time where we thought 2,000 yards was doable. Back-to-back 1,700-yard seasons in the history of the NFL, he is the only player to top 1,700 yards twice in the history of the NFL. He's also coming off of 3.82 yards per route run, which he walks amongst the gods with that number. Over three is incredible. This dude was almost over four and not seeing 60 targets. He had 171 targets. You know, we know how good he is. He's so good, in fact, that if at some point this season, let's say he had, I don't know, 14 catches for 340 yards and four touchdowns, like we'd all just be like, yeah, that was probably going to happen one of these days. That's how good this dude is. I actually do have him as the number one receiver, but if you have CeeDee Lamb, I'm not going to argue with you. I think stuff like that is just so foolish to argue over. Just put CeeDee Lamb as the number one guy on your board. If I had the choice between the two in redraft, I'm giving the slightest of edge to Tyreek. I don't think we see a fall off, by the way, in his age 30 season. I don't think we're quite there yet. I don't think this thing's going to last forever. But I don't think we see a fall off either. As far as his teammate Jalen Waddle is concerned, it's weird with Waddle because, you know, I thought in after his rookie season, we were going to have this like uber consistent guy who, you know, like a Jarvis, basically like Jarvis 2.0 for them, like high floor, maybe not the highest ceiling. And he's kind of been the exact opposite the last 2 years, much higher ceiling, much lower floor. So I almost have him as like a question mark guy. I have no issues with him, but I don't quite know what the profile is going to be out of him this year. And the good news is you don't have to pay for that profile like you once did. I met wide receiver at 22. There's a very real world where if you drafted him, he's your third receiver. You know, there's a very, very real world that that happens, a third receiver that you drafted. Again, no issues. I want a piece of this offense, but if I drafted Tyreek Hill, I would not be looking at Jalen Waddle. And that's a redraft thing, not a best ball thing. Odell's here. We'll see what he ends up doing. If anything, that just helps out Tua. It's really, it just comes down to those two guys. And there is the addition of Jonnu Smith. I mean, I've been drafting Jonnu Smith in best ball when I have Tua, but it's so late. He's not going to be drafted in a redraft. So he'll be more of like a just a watchless guy at tight end. So the backfield is really fascinating. Devon Achane was like a freaking video game last year. It was insane. It was absolutely insane. Like he broke the scale in yards after contact, 5.12 after contact per attempt. 5.12. Like I'm talking 3.5 is really good. You know, 4.0 is like, holy crap, bro. And this dude was over 5 on 100 carries, 102 to be precise. It's no joke. It's also really hard to sustain his level of big play ability. It's really, you know, for anybody. Doesn't matter if it's him, if it's Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl, Barry Sanders in his prime, they're all going to come back to the pack. Well, maybe not Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl, but still, I think Achane's being overdrafted. I really do. And sometimes you'll have these instances where if there are two viable options in a backfield, sometimes the guy who's going second does present a lot better value. That's not always the case. I don't want to just say, you know, there's no one size fits all in really anything in fantasy football, but certainly not with that one. I don't want to just say, oh, that's the case, and therefore, you know, let it be said, let it be written, let it be true. It's always true. No, definitely not. But here, all right, so Achane I have at RB15. He is not going at RB15. He will not go at RB15. He's going to go ahead of that. Right now, RB11 is where he's going in ADP. That's early third round. Meanwhile, Raheem Mostert, who I have at RB25, is coming off of a 20-plus touchdown season, and his head coach has been saying that he's the lead back. Now, granted, he's older, sure, but he didn't quite have the mileage that a lot of these running backs will have earlier in their career because he spent a lot of time on a practice squad. But he's going RB28. I'm at RB25. I am happy to take him as, like, if I go zero RB as one of the zero RB range guys, that's basically like round 7 to 10, you take four running backs in that range. If you happen to go anchor RB, you take a running back early, I don't mind taking Raheem Mostert as a punt RB2 option. Like, same range, I'm just calling it something slightly different, but yeah, it'd be the touchdown ability. Now, Jalen Wright is there as well. Speedster out of Tennessee. Honestly, I would say, even though a lot of people said, oh, well, they just drafted that guy in Achane. No, he's more like Mostert than he is like Achane. And he could be Mostert's long-term replacement. More of like, you know, he's a secondary handcuff type and really not worth anything more than, right now, best ball dart throws. I think he's the type of guy, and this happens all the time in redraft, if somebody drafted him, guess what they're doing in week two? Like, they're dropping him, and it happens all the time. But at least know the name. He will likely be ahead of Jeff Wilson, Savon Ahmed, et cetera, in that depth chart. A lot of value there, a lot of high-ceiling options there for Miami. Now, Minnesota is a completely different scenario, and this one comes down to the quarterback situation. The team went out after moving on from Kirk Cousins, they weren't able to re-sign him. They went out, they drafted J.J. McCarthy. Now, J.J. McCarthy seems to have been a consolation prize at the, you know, pick 11 there. Because it does seem like they had their eye on Drake May, as did the Giants and maybe other teams as well. Like, By the way, if we ever reach the NFL draft and there's like a quarterback, especially, and everybody's quiet about him, that usually means that a lot of teams are interested in him. You know, people often take it the other way around, but usually that's what that means. If there is some buzz, and we saw that, you know, in the Giants' Hard Knock season here, that, you know, they tried to get up, New England wasn't going to move. So anyway, J.J. McCarthy's there. The Sam Chise is there as well. The greatest practice quarterback in all of NFL history, Sam Darnold, a quarterback so good in practice that Matt Mayocco, who is a well-respected beat reporter for the San Francisco 49ers, compared Sam Darnold to Steve Young in practice. That's how awesome. If only practice was the games for Sam Darnold. But the question is, will McCarthy actually get a crack at the starting job this season? Usually when a quarterback is taken, you know, in the first half of the first round of the NFL draft, that guy gets out there in his rookie season. Doesn't always happen. You know, we could point to Trey Lance. That's probably the one in recent memory that stands out. And that didn't work very well, obviously. Jordan Love isn't an example because Jordan Love was the end of the first round, not the beginning. So it would be a little unprecedented, but anything could potentially happen here. I have some friends in the Minnesota area. They all seem to think that it is Darnold, it isn't close, and it's Darnold with a long leash. I find that a little hard to believe, but either way, there isn't much fantasy value with McCarthy or Darnold initially here. The question is, can they do enough to sustain fantasy value for the surrounding cast? We have Justin Jefferson. Obviously, we know how good he is. He is incredible. In fact, that the first three seasons, we never seen a wide receiver get out of the gate like that. Even the all-time greats, even Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, you know, T.O., or heck, even Mike Evans, who's had incredible run over the course of his career with, you know, consistent 1,000-yard seasons. None of them did what Jefferson did. And even last year, in 10 games played, he still topped 1,000 yards. He was still awesome. But the question is, can he still produce with those guys? Now, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I did move him down to 5. I initially had him at 4. I moved Amon-Ra ahead of him. It's close there. Jefferson's still a first-round talent in fantasy. I think they'll be able to do enough for him to sustain wide receiver one production. Maybe not elite, but I think he's fine, so I wouldn't hesitate. I'd maybe be a little bit more hesitant on Jordan Addison. And by the way, like, of course, if I draft Jefferson and redraft, I'm not drafting Jordan Addison. I just don't want too many eggs, especially in that basket where we have some questionable quarterback play that could be going down here this season. Addison is going wide receiver 39 or 37. I have him at 39, that is. So he's available. Honestly, that's where I'm usually looking at running backs, not wideouts, but I mean, I get it. It's just the problem with last year for Addison, if you look at the numbers, it was very good. 70 for 9-11 and 10 touchdowns. So he did have the touchdown productivity here. He only topped 80 receiving yards, though, in 4 games. So that's a little bit of a concern. Not major, but not going to go out of my way to grab him. Otherwise, I mean, we'll see what they do with the rest of the wide receiver, but it really is Jefferson. Now, they do have TJ Hockenson, and of course, he's coming off of the ACL late last season. So the question is, when will he be ready to play? Will he actually be ready to play in the beginning of the season? Are we talking this is more of an early October, or is it like an early November, early to mid-November? If it's an early to mid-November, that means don't draft him. If it's an early October, I don't hate like drafting him and then just drafting somebody to get by for a month. Like, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Luke Musgrave or Hunter Henry or, heck, Tyler Conklin. Dude, you guys got chill with Tyler Conklin, man. You guys got chill with Tyler Conklin. But anyway, I don't care if it's any of those guys, whatever, because Hockenson can still be productive even with Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy. But he's risky. He is very risky. So we should have more information as we get closer to draft season, like the heart of draft season in a couple weeks. So I'll come back to that one. But for now, just keep that in mind. The only other thing we really have here is they brought in division rival Aaron Jones, who he is in the mix. He was stuck in committee back purgatory basically his entire time with the Packers, right? We had Jamal Williams there and then A.J. Dillon. And then finally, his like last little hurrah in Green Bay, Dylan was hurt. They took the darn training wheels off Aaron Jones. And what did he do? Five straight 100-yard games. Now, will they use him to that extent here? A 30-year-old running back in Minnesota? I can't say that they will, no. We should see Ty Chandler. But we're going to see a lot of Aaron Jones. Now, the problem is he's going in that magical range of drafts that I call the running back dead zone. A dead zone is a period of drafts that I don't want to draft that position. It's not a type of running back. There's no such thing as a dead zone running back. It's a period of a draft, and I don't want to draft the position. So the running back dead zone basically occurs, it is one of two starting spots for me. It's either after I draft an anchor, if I do draft an anchor, or after the last anchor is off the board. Then we're in the dead zone. I'm not looking at running back. And usually that, you know, well, it will last up until the seventh round. Guess what? Aaron Jones is going to the fifth round. So maybe he falls. Maybe he gets to the seventh round. And if he does, heck, he's my RB17. I'm all about that. I would love to get him there, but I'm not willing to look at him until the seventh round. And I'm just going to, you know, simple reality, he's not going to make it there. Now, if I did draft him in the seventh round, one thing I will not be doing is handcuffing him. There's no need. I'm not investing a lot of capital into a seventh round running back. And by the way, if I draft a running back in the seventh and one in the eighth and one in the ninth and one in the 10th, I don't view any of them as my RB1, RB2, RB3, RB4. All four of those dudes could start for me in week one. Any one of them could start for me. You know, sequencing it that way, I think a lot of people view their rosters in this sort of, yeah, like this almost hierarchy, and that's going to limit your ability to make better decisions in season. So if I draft Aaron Jones, let's say I drafted Jones in the seventh, somehow he slid out. All right, I'll make my opponents pay for that. Then I get, I don't know, James Conner. And then I get, Raheem Mostert. And then I get, I don't know, Devin Singletary. That's not the sexiest group right there. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to do rankings in week one, and the two guys who are the highest in rankings, I'm going to start. I don't view any of them as my RB1, 2, 3, 4. I just view them all as running backs on my squad, and I'm going to make better decisions, hopefully, as a result during the season. So there you go. I think he's going to be in the dead zone more often than not, but I do like the landing spot, and I think we'll get another year or two out of Aaron Jones. I don't think he's quite toast yet. You can tell when these running backs especially are toast. All right, so let me get over to some of these emails. Our buddy Grungy T-shirt, this dude checks in all the time when I'm on the radio, but he said, longtime listener of the SiriusXM show. I remember the guys who check in all the time. Sometimes if you only tweet me like once, I'm not going to remember, unfortunately. I wish I could. But it's the folks who check in like every day, then, or most every day, that I'm going to remember. Either way, he said his question, he is a broke MF-er. Said FTN Core looks awesome, but do you get a weekly waiver wire article? So no, Core is the, you know, essentially the core thing that people want is rankings. So it's all the draft rankings, best ball rankings, rookie rankings, dynasty rankings, anything rankings related, in-season rankings, and then all the cheat sheets, since they're basically rankings, is what you get in Core. And the reason why we put that together is, like, there are some people on Reddit who were talking about our subscription, which the main subscription in Fantasy Plus, like, you get a ton with it. It's not just those. It's the draft guides. It's the, you know, the waiver wire article, all the premium articles. It's the Discord. It's all of the advanced stats plus DVOA stuff, which people love. Aaron Schatz is DVOA. People were saying, like, would you pay that price to get Jeff Ratcliffe's rankings? And it's like, well, that's not all you get. And then every so often I have an idea and I was like, well, maybe we should just do a subscription. If that's what some of these folks just want, they don't want anything else, and let's just give them that. And so, yeah, that's what Core is. And it's a cheaper, much cheaper price point. And you can use the promo code Rat Pack on that one too for 10% off. So no waiver wire article, no premium articles. Steven checking in. He's asking about Core. I guess there is a theme. Oh, he asked what's the difference between the Core and Fantasy Plus. So there you go. Core is just rankings. Fantasy Plus gets you everything with the exception of DFS betting. You would have to add those on, but there is an add-on. Jason checking in saying Malik Nabers just got a promotion in his tears. He said, seriously, you think this is the best season of Hard Knocks ever? It's like the movie Draft Day, but in real life. Ooh, I don't know about that. Draft Day was not good. It's not realistic. This is realistic. I do agree with you. He said he hopes the format continues. I don't know if it will. I honestly love it. I think it's fantastic, but I don't know if NFL teams are going to love how much transparency has been on this season. If you haven't watched Hard Knocks, it is definitely worth watching. Matt checking in saying he is glad that I'm back on the OG feed. Me too. Well, it's not technically. The OG would be me going back to PFF and go back to the PFF Fantasy Podcast, but that's not going to happen. I'm quite happy at FTN. Not to knock my former employer, because I love them too. But anyway, he said, loves the rookie scouting guide and used it for the latter part of his rookie draft. He said, I'm wondering how you value players for a draft pick trade. So he said he has the 1-8, desperately needs a quarterback. Has Lamar nothing behind him, currently burning a couple bench spots for guys. His league mates hoard quarterbacks. Well, I wouldn't be trading the 1-8, I'll tell you that. I hoard my first round picks. Your hit rate in rookie drafts is so low that it's so important you use those first round picks because they give you your best chance of hitting each year. So I wouldn't be doing that. Now, in the Rookie Fantasy Scouting Guide, I have the pick value chart. So if you wanted to trade picks, trade like a first round for a second, blah, 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 and a future, like a 2027. Like, I tell you the value of those. But I will say, if you're trading a pick for a player, I can't tell you the value because your league is going to be different than other leagues. Every league is going to be different when it comes to trades. I'm in a home league. It's a keeper league, so it's not Dynasty, but still, I would imagine these guys would be the same way in Dynasty. The trades come early, often, and everything in between. Like, it's almost as if right now we can't go a day without there being trades. It's July 29th in a keeper league. There's one guy in this league who's traded away, I think we have 20 rounds. He's traded away all but two of his original picks. Like, he has other picks, but it's almost as if we need to stage an intervention for this dude at our draft because he's got a trading problem. I'm in another league, another home league. And in fact, there's even one person who's in both leagues like I am. There hasn't been a trade in that league in like 5 years. So in the trade happy league, I mean, heck, I could throw out kind of lowball offer and it probably gets accepted. In the other league, I have to give away my daughter basically in a trade. I was going to say my firstborn, but she's my onlyborn. I have to give away everything in those trades to get anything done. So every league is going to be different. I can't tell you what the value is. The value is ultimately what somebody's willing to pay for it in your leagues. So, I would not be trading away a 1-8 for a quarterback. Rami checking in. He said, longtime listener. He subscribes to FTN. Appreciate that. He said he's in a couple leagues where they have a one quarterback, two running back, two wide out, a running back wide out flex, two tight ends, and two flex. You're in a couple leagues with that format? He said, I wonder how this setup would change my draft strategy at tight end. It wouldn't change my strategy at tight end. I'm still going wheelhouse. We'll get into the draft strategy stuff soon once we wrap up all the team previews here, but I'd still go wheelhouse tight end. So there's basically five tight ends who I'm targeting, and this format would not change it at all. The only thing that would ever change my approach at tight end is if we added a second tight end, and guess what? I would not be in that league. I would politely decline the offer to be in that league, but that's it. That would be the only one. Cody has a question regarding best ball value versus correlation. Ooh, all right. He said he struggles in best ball drafts with how to value ADP versus stacking and correlating playoff weeks. Okay. He said he knows he needs to value both almost equally, but the stacks and bring backs is what typically wins tourneys in the end. Over his question, do I think it's possible to win big money on value alone, or is it necessary to have a week 17 stack? Well, I think number one, it's important to have your team stack. And what I like to do is I like to let my early picks dictate what the team stack is. So you could, in theory, go value early on, although I would warn against if you're going to get a lot under your belt. Like if you're 35, 40 in, you can't just keep going value. Like you can't be overexposed to certain players. Like right now, for example, Brandon Ayuk has been falling. You can't just draft Brandon Ayuk everywhere. And the reason for that is I just don't want to be overexposed to any players. But number one thing is team stack. And then when you establish those team stacks, then you can start to look to game stacks. Now, game stacks can be tricky to execute from the jump because some of the best players in the game stack may already have been drafted. But you can get the secondary players for that, you know, the week 17 game stack. I really think it would be very, very difficult to take down a big tournament like Best Ball Mania, the $1.5 million contest on DraftKings, without that sort of thing in place. I don't think just a straightforward value team would work. That's something that would work well in a home league. I don't see it working for these. Scott is he's the ball buster checking in. You mean ball breaker? I don't want him busted. Broken, maybe. But he said, my advice is second to none. I appreciate you, by the way, Scott. That was funny. And he goes on to say, he threw the Doylestown shout out because he knows I'm in the area. He said he coaches high school lacrosse. And he goes, if you're feeling the itch to get back out there, hit me up. So I don't know if every listener of this podcast knows this, but there's a dude out there named Jeff Ratcliffe who used to play professional lacrosse for the Philadelphia Wings. That wasn't me. Like, I don't know if Scott actually knows this or not. If he's trying to be funny here, then all right. Scott's got a good sense of humor. It was not me. I did not play professional lacrosse. If you look up me, you'll see, like, on Google. Google me, man. You'll see that Wikipedia and my picture. So my picture, I don't think, is on his Wikipedia. But anyway, that dude actually knows I exist. And, well, I obviously know he exists. So there is another Jeff Ratcliffe. That's not me. I can't play lacrosse. I was a track guy, ran track in college. So there you go. Coached some high school track for a little bit too. All right, one more here. Jacob has a blockbuster trade. He is in a two quarterback dynasty league. Stroud, Stafford, Geno, Hal, Bryce. Worried about his quarterback room. So he traded Bryce, Stafford, ETN, and a first. Oof. For Justin Herbert and Trey Benson. Oh, I wouldn't have done it, man. ETN not in the window yet for me. The 2025 first, that's rough. I hate getting rid of future picks. And honestly, I want to see where Bryce goes. Stafford, I would have gotten rid of. That's about it. And you traded four assets for two assets. I mean, it's tough, man. I would not have done it. I'm relatively conservative with trades, but there's very specific reasons. In Dynasty, like, number one, I want to look at the age of these guys, the running backs and wide receivers in particular. ETN isn't there. I want to hoard picks. I want to get as many firsts as possible. And I don't think you have that big of an issue here. You have four starting quarterbacks on your roster, and then you have a backup of one of the four. I don't think you had an issue. Like, if there's not a need to make a trade, I usually don't make a trade. So sorry. Honest take, though. I don't hate you guys. Just an honest take. All right. That's going to do it for today. If you want to email in, therantpodjr@gmail.com. All one word, therantpodjr@gmail.com. I think I have some voicemails in the hopper. We'll get to those tomorrow. But in the meantime, if you actually wanted to call in and leave a voicemail, I set up a voicemail line for you guys, 215-720-1708. So we will continue on tomorrow. We're coming down the home stretch of these previews, but we have New England, New Orleans tomorrow. That'll be a fun one. That New England team is interesting. I mean, there's not a ton of talent, but there's some good. There's one value that screams value in fantasy drafts. So we'll get into that. In the meantime, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK, 10% off with that promo code. Of course, follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.